Ephesians chapter 4, 12 through 16. If you would stand for reading of the Word of God, I will start in verse 11 just to bring the whole context in. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. So as you know, the book of Ephesians by now, you know that it is written to the church. It's written to a church that is in a pagan society where there is idol worship, where there is idleness, where there was just self-gratification going on. Kind of reminds you of America. Yes, America. And how the church can flourish in that environment. Last time we learned that the church flourishes when the church is united under the head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, not a person. He's not a human. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is head of his church. And we know that in chapter 4, verse 2, a couple of weeks ago, that this is accomplished by our attitudes. This is the attitudes of we within the body. How do we facilitate unity within the body? Well, with all lowliness or humbleness, that we're gentle with one another, that we are long-suffering, macrothumia, patient with people, that we are patient with people, bearing with one another in love, putting up with one another, enduring one another. That's what the word actually means. So that's how we get along united. God has given his church spiritual gifts in order to facilitate this unity. So spiritual gift. Everybody has at least one gift. It's up to you to discover what that gift is, and then it is incumbent upon you to use that gift within the body to strengthen the body, to lift the body up, to encourage the body. So everybody has at least one spiritual gift. And remember this, you can't contribute to the body with your giftedness if you're not here. Remember, you bring something unique. God made you, you. And you have something special that nobody else has, you as a person. So if you're not here, the body is missing a link, missing an arm, missing a toe, missing a finger, missing something. For those who think they're not important to the body, listen to this. For those who think they're not important, hear this illustration. Now, everyone would agree that the eye is a significant thing, right? You get poked in the eye. I remember when I got poked in the eye. One little five-year-old fist, boom, right in the eye. I was incapacitated. Incapacitated. Scott punched me in the eye and boom, right there. So my wrestling with him ended right quick, Rick. I mean, that was the end of that match. But anyway, the eye is very significant. When a speck of dust blows into an eye, instinctively the eye is rubbed with a finger. There is no debate with the finger about whether to help the eye. The finger just jumps right in, doesn't it? Later, after pulling down the lid causing the eye to water, the speck is washed out. In short time the eye is back to normal. But without the hand, including its specially functioning fingers, the irritant would have remained. Each member in the body of Christ is equally important. We all bring something, folks. We all need each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20 through 26 says, we're not all an eye. We're not all a hand. We're not all of this. We're not all of that. We all need each other. Each member is important within the body of Christ. So, with this in mind, please remember that your gift is important to the body, but also remember that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he desires, or as he wills. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12, 11. And don't forget that he gives the gift in measure. What does that mean? Everybody doesn't have the same measure. Everybody doesn't have the same gift of helps. Everybody doesn't have the same measure of the gift of mercy or the same measure of the gift of discernment. Okay? So, listen to this. A great measure comes with a great calling. A great measure comes with a great calling. If you want more of a measure, get ready for a greater calling. You're not just going to get a measure of a spiritual gift to just say, hey, man, I'm the best discerner in the world. Look at me. I can tell everything that's going on here. And that's not why that happens. If you're going to have a greater calling, then you'll get a greater measure. If you use what you're given, God may give you an opportunity to add more for His glory. And remember that Jesus gave the equipping gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, to build up the body of Christ so that it's united, that it's perfect, that the body are no longer children. You know, when you're born again of the Spirit, you are a child. When you come into the body of Christ, we are bringing a whole bunch of baggage with us. And we are babies. But God never saves somebody to leave them a baby. There's growth that's expected. God expects all of us to grow. Do you know that people can come to a church for 40 years and still be a baby? It does happen. It does happen. That is not what we want to have happen today. So we're going to be talking about how do grown-ups act. That's what our talk is going to be about today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time to study your word. What we do not know, Lord, teach us. And what we do know, help us to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 12, these gifts help us to grow up and become mature. And please never forget, maturing is a process. It's a process. Now, when I was a senior in high school, I was not mature, but everybody came up to me and says, hey, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Because I didn't know what I was going to do. I felt like I was still 12, 13 years old. All I wanted to do was go play ball, run around, But all of a sudden, I'm supposed to be acting like a grown-up. Maturing is a process. Comes with stresses in your life, doesn't it? You can be 40, 50 years old and still not be mature. It's not a matter of age. It's a matter of how you're acting and how you're responding to the environment around you. So, these gifts help us to grow up. Verse 12, we have pastors, teachers, evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry or service, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Now, that equipping is the Greek word katartismos, and it is a process that is complete. These equipping gifts are there to help the body to be complete, to be put together, putting it right, putting everything right in right order. Listen to what one man has to say about this. William Barclay says this. Katartismos is used in surgery for setting a broken limb or for putting a joint back into its place. In politics, it is used for bringing together opposing factions so that the government can go on. In the New Testament, it is for mending nets and disciplining an offender until he is fit to take his place again within the fellowship of the church. The basic idea of the word is that of putting a thing into the condition in which it ought to be, to put it right, to put things in right order. That's what it's there for. So the goal is, putting it all together, the goal is a strong, fit, prepared Christian. A strong, fit, prepared Christian. Now, prepared for what? Prepared for what? Well, it's the work of ministry. Ministry is service. Everyone is involved in service. We are all to be involved in this. Now, the question is, when you're talking to a group like this, you mean me? Are you talking to me? Yes, we need you. It involves everybody. This quote, I think, is from Chuck Smith. The primary purpose of the church is not to convert sinners. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Because this is an act of God. God is the one who converts sinners. God is the one who brings people into the family of God. But for the saints to be equipped for the work of ministry. That's the purpose of the church. That's why these equipping gifts exist. Real Christianity is learning, preparing to do. It is participative, not only observational. It is participative, not only observational. When we are coming in here for worship, we are not watching the worship band perform. They are helping us to come into a state of worship before our God. He is the one that we are singing to. He is the one that we are worshiping and honoring. So it is participative. I am participating in worship of God. I am participating now in worship by being attentive, by listening to the Word of God being taught. It's participative. It's getting involved. Now, some people look at the music and say, oh, I'm going to give that a 10, and I'm going to go to that church because I love their music. You ever hear that one? How about that? Or, I love the teaching. Or the Sunday school class. Oh, they have the best Sunday school class, so they get a 10. Or youth group is rocking youth group. And there's just like flags going up. 10, 8, 4, 1. I'm not going there. It's participative. I bring everything I have to the body of Christ for His honor and His glory. I'm engaged for Him. That's what it's all about. So, when we gather, we are all engaged in spirit and in action, not just watching the performance. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot. The Western church has gotten into the habit of watching the performance. Lights come up, lights go down. The spotlight comes on, the music comes up, and it's like you're going to some sort of performance someplace on a stage. Now, I think we should do things with excellence. I'm not against all that stuff. But that is not what we're watching. Our focus is on whom they are directing us to worship. And if you get distracted by watching them and giving them a grade, then you're off. Then you're off. We want to be focused on the Lord Jesus, about worshiping Him and Him alone. So, we want to be engaged in the Word. We want to be engaged in the worship. We want to be thinking about what's going on. Now, how does this all play out in the church with spiritual gifts? Let me just give you this. One person with the gift of hospitality might greet you at the door. Okay? That's engaged. That person doesn't even know they're doing anything. Hey, how you doing? Welcome here. That's using your gift within the body of Christ. The person with the gift of mercy was going to enter into your discomfort. Oh, William. Oh, William, we got to do something for William. Or Hank's got a bad shoulder, or you get the message. The person with the gift of mercy gets involved. Most of them don't even know they're doing it. But for the body to function, we need those people in those areas to lift each one of us up. How about the gift of giving? Meets a need. The gift of administration puts everything in order. You get the picture. Everybody is engaged at some point in something. We are all called to do something. The church is a living, dynamic organism with living people participating. All of us participating. Now listen to this statement. The work of ministry is the body's responsibility. The work of ministry is the body's responsibility. The pastor teacher is to equip the body for ministry, not be the one who everyone thinks should be doing all the ministry. Folks, we're in this together. I have my role. You have your role. And for a health church to be healthy, we are all engaged together. All engaged together. So, think. Think about this. Have you ever seen someone with the spiritual gift of watching? I'm just watching you do your stuff. 15,000 tables need to be cleaned. I'm just going to watch you do it. Because that's my gift. I'm staying in my gift. That's all I do. How about the spiritual gift of, I've done enough. I've been in this a long time. I've done enough. Have you ever heard of that spiritual gift? You've never heard of it, but you've seen it. You've seen it. How about the spiritual gift of, I can't. I can't do that. You mean there's a need in that? I can't do that. There's no spiritual gift if I can't. You can participate somewhere in Christ's church. Look at the goal of an equipped body is to edify the body, building one another up. It's a process that we are all to be engaged in, not just some. Now, there's a caution here. There's a caution. Everyone needs to be built up, don't they? Everyone needs to be built up. But there are situations where discernment needs to be be at the forefront. And those with the gift of discernment. Because there are people that will try to take advantage of giving bodies of believers. Did you know that? Now, we want to err on the side of grace. So, therefore, you'll be taken advantage of from time to time. But there are, you have to have people with discernment, because there's a difference between helping and enabling. So you have to realize there's a caution there. There's a big difference between helping and enabling. We all need to be built up. Wouldn't you agree with that? We all need to be built up, strengthened for life's journey. It takes everyone on the wall to do this. Everyone, like in Nehemiah, big project, big job, little sections of the wall given to each person. That was their job. If everyone participates, then the one guy in this section of the wall doesn't kill himself trying to do more on the wall than he can do. Okay? So we're all engaged, so you take care of your part of the wall. Now after the service, I'm going to come up, what's your part of the wall? Well, I don't know. Well, find a part on the wall. Get on the wall. Everybody on the wall. It takes everyone. So, verse 13 and 14. How do I know that I'm really growing up? This is a test for you. How do I know that I'm really growing up? Well, he says, till we all come to, watch the words, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Boy, when I saw that, I'm going, really? A perfect man, wow. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Oh, are there people like that out there? You bet. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What are the signs that you're growing up? What are the signs that you're growing up? Well, sign number one that I see in this text is unity. Unity. Grown-ups have spiritual unity. Spiritual unity. Grown-ups submit to one another, all submitting to the headship of the Lord Jesus. That's what grown-ups do. That's what grown-ups do. Babies don't do that. Grown-ups do. Grown-ups are yoked to Christ. Hear this. Grown-ups are yoked to Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, very common verse, but I want to use this as an example. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. Now who would not qualify for that statement? Everybody in here is weary, heavy laden, and then he gives you a promise. You come to me, I will give you rest. And then he makes a statement, a significant statement. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now think of oxen. We don't have this picture like they did in that culture, but this picture is two oxen yoked together. The Lord Jesus being the lead oxen. You being yoked to him. He moves, you move. Okay? Now babies, what they do when they first put them in the yoke, what are they doing? Pulling away. They want to go their own way. Eventually you learn to go in stride with the lead oxen. Keep that picture in your mind. Take my yoke upon you, so I think this is talking about discipleship, and learn from me. For I am gentle, and notice that this is the only place in Scripture where you see the character of Jesus, what his personality is like. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Folks, when you are yoked with the Lord Jesus and you pull in his direction, it is easy. Now, I want to build a picture here because we are all, as believers, yoked to him. And as we grow and mature, I want to stay in step with him. And we are all pulling together in the same direction. Now, we're all yoked, pulling together, unified in one single direction. Folks, the church works then. But if you have 100 babies and one mature when yoked to the Lord Jesus, you got no work going on. You got kids pulling in every direction. You watch the chaos around you. That's why it is imperative that we grow up. Grown-ups are yoked to the Lord Jesus. They follow easily. They go in the same direction as the Lord Jesus. And folks, then you'll find rest for your souls. You want rest for your souls? Yoke to him. Pull along with him. Grown-ups, number four, are mature. A perfect man, a mature man. And you know what a mature man is? One who is in the process of being conformed to the Lord Jesus. You just don't wake up and one day and you're in the 12th grade and you go, okay, I'm mature because I've grown 6 inches this last year and my voice is getting deep and now I'm mature. No, doesn't mean you're mature. Doesn't mean you're mature. But you're in the process of maturation. I'm in the process of growing from a child into an adult, into a functioning adult. And I want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. I'm growing up, and I'll ask you a question. How are you doing? How are you doing in growing up? Look at your life. Everybody knows Star Wars, don't they? Remember Jabba the Hutt? What'd that dude look like? Big old fat Jabba the Hutt. That's babies. Feed Jabba. Feed the baby. All the center of attention. All those little people running around. Did anybody see Star Wars? Okay. I just don't ever know because I always talk about Mickey Mantle and that's way out of date, so I got to drop that one. But Jabba the Hutt, I think, is still in, isn't he? Okay. We don't want to be Jabba the Hutt babies in the body of Christ. Number one, there's unity. Secondly, in verse 14, grown-ups are stable and not tossed about. Are not tossed about. Verse 14, which I read, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Grown-ups are stable. Look it. We're all in life storms. Grown-ups are stable through the life storms. Grown-ups are stable by not falling for false teaching. By falling for false teaching. Tossed true and fro, and these people would be very familiar with that, the Sea of Galilee. You were tossed all over the Sea of Galilee in a little boat when the storms came. Babies have a lot of movement, don't they? Babies have a lot of movement. But movement does not mean you're growing. Because an organization has a lot of movements, has a lot of programs, doesn't mean that they're growing and maturing in the Lord. Doesn't mean that. Just because there's a lot of action going on, doesn't mean that there's maturation going on. That's a significant item. Now, this word children, the word is nepios. We've used it many, many times in our teaching, nepios. And it means a baby not able to speak, requiring total care and attention. Total care and attention. Now listen, children fall for the trickery of men. People that are smooth talking. People that will say what your itching ears want to hear. Children will fall for that. You can build dynasties with children. Dynasties. Fill stadiums with children because they have their ears tickled. They're hearing what they want to hear. Sounds good. There's a lot of bouncing around with children. I'm going to try this. Oh, the Spirit's here. Oh, the Spirit's over here. Let's catch him over here. That's what children do. They want to go to the next big thing. Not when you're growing up. Children fall for cunning craftiness. Remember, this is always the enemy's way. Always cunning and crafty. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 how he comes? Let me just read this to you. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Do you hear that? That there are people out there that are transforming themselves to look like the real deal. By the outside, by the externals, they're going to look real. But man, you have to have discernment. See, children don't have that. So they fall for that. But you who are mature, your Holy Spirit ears go, whoa! And you catch it, even though you might not know exactly what's going on. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers, his fakes, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Be careful, folks. Be careful of tickling ears talk. Be careful. And children fall for the centrality of me. It's all about me. When you are acting in that way, you are still a nepios, a child. Now, believe me, everybody needs to get something from a ministry. But when that's the only focus, then you are acting like a child. And we want to get past that. It's all about me. Now, there's a caution here. You know what? Because cults prey on perpetual baby Christians. You know where they recruit from? Churches. Churches are a feeding ground of people that have a little bit of information, and that's where cults prey, on baby Christians who don't know what they believe and why they believe it. Church is full of babies, folks, and it's a feeding ground for the cults. Ecclesiastes 1:9 gives us a caution. When somebody says that I've got something new for you, get ready. Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is what will be. And that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. All these plottings of Satan's, all these tricks of ministers of Satan have all been played out before through history. And we have a book here that tells us about it. So be in the book. Learn about his tactics. Learn about his tactics. He has tried and true ways that he lures baby Christians away. He lures them away. There's no new wisdom or insight. It has already been seen, revealed in Scripture. What does it say in John 16:13? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Into all truth. That is important. Listen to the statement. Grown-ups will not fall prey to predatory teaching. Do you hear that? You will not fall prey to predatory teaching. No matter how smooth or charismatic, grown-ups are stable. Grown-ups are not fooled. Grown-ups are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by false teachers, craftiness of the enemy, by life storms. Grown-ups are stable. So grown-ups are united, and grown-ups are stable. Verse 15. And this is a hard one. Grown-ups speak the truth in love. Grown-ups speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ. Isn't that the goal? That we be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Look at those with... Now, when I say in love, that's a whole different paradigm than waving your finger in somebody's face or yelling at them, get right or get left, or using threatening postures, threatening tones. That's not in love. You better love Jesus or you're going to hell. And then you shake a little bit and your jugular veins stick out right here. That is not going to move anybody. That actually scares me, so step back. No, it's... But listen to this. Those with contrary lifestyles or doctrinal beliefs that are contrary to what we believe is orthodox, we want to speak to them in love, don't we? No finger waving, no threatening language. As the Spirit of God opens the door, we speak in a tone and in love that is to embrace them so that they know the love of the Lord Jesus. Those who have been deceived already that are in groups like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus. Folks, we want to love them. Speak the truth in love to those people. Those in the family of God that are veering to the right or to the left, we in the family have an obligation to speak to them in love. Hey, you're having a problem here. You may want to think about getting back on track. Getting back on track. Speaking in love. Now listen, real love is telling someone the truth. That's what real love is. Is it always easy to do this? Is it always easy to tell somebody the truth? Is it always easy to confront someone when they're getting off to the right or to the left? Chuck Swindoll has this to say. Some of us are good at truth. We can spot the smallest flaw in a person's thinking and have no fear of pointing it out. I call those the doctrinal police. Calvinist, Arminian, dispensationalist, covenant. You know, it goes on and on and on. Doctrinal police. Doctrinal police. But in our zeal for preserving the integrity of scriptures, we can easily hurt others by failing to show them love. Others of us have the opposite problem. Desiring to keep peace, we let false teaching go uncontested or allow a lie to go uncorrected. Now, folks, I think most of us fall into that camp because it's hard to confront. It's hard. We just can't bring ourselves to tip anyone's boat for fear that they'll cause too many waves in the church. This is the peace at any cost, people. The peace at any cost, folks. You know, there was a situation in California several years ago where a man was beaten, Rodney King. And he did make a prophetic statement. Can't we all just get along together? That's these people. Let false peace at any cost. God wants us to be neither abrasive nor timid. Rather, he wants us to show both strength and love. John Stott summarizes it this way. Truth becomes hard if it is not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it is not strengthened by truth. The apostle calls us to hold the two together. The two together. Strength, love, truth. Grown-ups speak the truth in love. Folks, even when it's hard, yes. Even when it's hard. Even when it's unpopular, folks, even when it's unpopular. That's what those Houston pastors did. This is getting more and more and more unpopular in our culture to stand up for biblical truth. Even when it's unpopular. And even when there's fallout, you expect me to do this? Folks, even when there's fallout. Because more and more as we stand for the Word of God, there's going to be fallout. There's going to be consequences for our beliefs, for our faith. Finally, in verse 16, grown-ups cooperate. Grown-ups pitch in. Grown-ups help. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's all of us together, joined and knit together, we're a family, by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Folks, grown-ups cooperate. Children can't cooperate, can they? Children can't cooperate. That's my toy. That's my stuff. Man, just crying and whining. Children can't. That's why we want to help people to grow up. They're self-centered. Now, we are a family. We are knit together. Everyone does its part. This applies to the home. This applies to the church. This applies to work. This applies to all of our lives, folks. That we all have a place. We all have a part. We all have a role to play. Focus now is the church, but it can be extrapolated from here into your life. We all have a part. And we are all knit together, and we are doing our part. Growth happens. It takes all of us pulling together to facilitate growth. We all need each other. David Guzik has this to say in his commentary about this. When you're thinking about, what's my part? What's my part in the body? How do I fit into this? How do I facilitate this growth? David Guzik says this. Some people think of the church as a pyramid with the pastor at the top. Others think of the church as a bus driven by the pastor who takes his passive passengers where they should go. But God wants to see the church as a body, where every part does its share. Grown-ups pitch in. Grown-ups help out. grown-ups participate. That's the truth. So, now, important thing to realize here is we don't all grow up at the same pace. So it is not my job to run after you and say, you better grow up. You need to grow up. We all grow up at different paces. That's up to the Holy Spirit to do that within you. That's not up to us to do that. That's up to the Holy Spirit. It's a process. So we do not grow up the same pace. Give grace to others that are in the process. They're not going to be, we're not all going to be at the same spot. And again, we're not the ones that are going around with the siren and the flashers going, you're not growing up fast enough for me. That's not the program. It's as the Spirit of God speaks to you, as the Spirit of God convicts you. It's His church. We're all part of this church together. So, there should be no should, you shoulds, you oughts, you betters. We want to encourage each other to growth. In the same token, we all need to be involved. Remember, we participate. It's not just observational within the church. I'm going to conclude with this, things to contemplate. And there's just four, so hang in. A congregation is only as grown up as its members are grown up. Now, what can you do to help yourself grow, to grow up? Well, the pastor, teacher, the equipping gifts have their job. Now, believe me, I take this very seriously. You are to get food to help nourish you to grow. That's my job. But you also have a part. You also have a role in your maturation. It just isn't somebody feeding you food. It's more than that. You must cooperate in the process. One thing for sure, you will not grow up if you are not involved. If you are not stretching yourself. And oh, I love the thing, there's no strength, there was no muscle growth without resistance. There is no growing without resistance. No strength without resistance. In other words, you have to get into uncomfortable area. How many people restrain themselves because, believe me, this is my favorite word, I'm uncomfortable with that. Therefore, I will just plant myself right here, and I will use my gift of watching to watch you struggle and strain. No, it's uncomfortable as it is. We are to stretch ourselves. Without stressing the muscle, there is no growth. Without stretching you, there will be no growth. You will sit there and be a baby for 10, 20, 30, 40, heaven. And you'll stand before God one day and give an account of your life, and He will say, this is what I had you to do. This is the gift that you were gifted to do. And He will say, welcome into my kingdom, but you will be missing out on rewards. Because we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there are rewards and loss of rewards for our obedience to Him. That's the truth. So you can sit here for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever that is, and you're going to lose out, and you will not be strong unless you are stretched. Believe me, I know this discomfort. So that's number one. Number two, how stable are you? Do you jump on every new bandwagon? Do smooth talkers lure you in? Are you easily discouraged, hurt, withdrawn, out of action? You know, grown-ups are stable and grounded. Grown-ups are not fooled. And guess what? Grown-ups keep going. How many moms and dads have had it up to here with the whole thing of going to work every day, changing the kids every day, doing all this stuff, that had it up to here. But you know what? You keep going. There is no quitting. There is no quitting. You get to retire when you take your last breath. There's no other retirement plan. We're in a fallen world, folks. And it's a mess here until we're out. There is no retirement here. That's an illusion. Don't waste your life. You only have a limited amount of time. Grown-ups keep going, folks. Number three, do you speak the truth in love? Or is fighting more your style? Or is fighting more your style? Or is it peace at any cost more your style? Do you speak the truth in anger or love? In other words, get right, get left. You ought, you better. If you don't do this, that's that sort of thing. Lovingly telling people the truth, though contrary to what they want to hear, is real love. Do you hear that? Lovingly telling them the truth, although it's contrary to what they want to hear. That's real love. If I'm not telling somebody the truth about heaven, about hell, about the consequences of your life, then that is not loving them. That is not loving them. They might have their feelings hurt. But folks, there'll be one day when they stand before God and they will just be giving you high fives for if they come into this thing because you give them a word of truth at a key point in their lives. Grown-ups speak the truth in love. And folks, this is hard. It is not easy. I think it's the hardest of all of them because it's hard to sit right before someone, right before their peepers and tell them the truth in love, that they're off base and there are consequences for that that could be eternal. That's the hardest one. And number four, how are you doing? Do some introspection. How are you doing with cooperating in the church? Doing your share. Doing your share. Examine your heart. This is between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and your neighbor. It's between you and God. Because you will give an account one day. And folks, I have to teach this. If I had to hear this and I was out there sitting next to you guys, I'd be going, oh man, this is kind of a downer right here. I don't really like this. This stinks. You know. But I have to teach the truth. I have to. Examine your heart. Is God nudging you? You will not be blessed if you stay within yourself. The safety of yourself. And folks, that's where we want to live. We want to stay in the safety of where I am. And not stretch out because it might be a little uncomfortable out there. I might have to give something out there. Folks, the Lord Jesus gave everything. You know, Paul gave his life. Peter, James, and John gave their lives. Well, John got boiled in oil, but eventually died. But they all gave their lives. Folks, what are we doing? It's a little uncomfortable to help out here or there. I don't want to do that. I have to do that regularly? You mean that's a regular thing? Oh my goodness, it's regular. I might have to, yes, it's regular. This is our life. This is our life. This isn't just a casual meeting. We aren't the Lions Club. This is our lives. And we're living it for the glory of the King. He deserves our all. I'm getting emotional. The scripture is clear. Every part does its share. That's verse 16. All do some. Now listen to this. Please, if you didn't copy down anything, write this one down. Write it on your wrist. Yeah. All do some, so some do not have to do all. Grown-ups cooperate. They do their share. We need one another. Together, we may be conformed to the likeness of Christ, united together. Folks, if we're all doing something, none of us is overworked. None of us is. How do grown-ups act? United, mature, not easily led astray, not easily discouraged. They speak the truth in love, and they pitch in. How are you doing? Believe me, when you study this, it hits you right between the peepers. You know, you're going, oh, okay. My encouragement for you is to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you on some part of this talk that is most applicable to you. Not all of it is applicable to every person, but there are parts that are. And obey the Spirit of God as He speaks to you and pricks your heart on one area of this talk. Father, we thank You for this time to study Your Word. Holy Spirit, I ask You to do Your work inside each one of us as we sit here and we've heard this. And as James said, Lord, we just don't want to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And I pray that people will be motivated here to find their place within this body so that we're all doing a little so that a few don't have to do a lot. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. It really is balancing. And this reminds me that Paul must have had an issue with this in the Ephesian church. And it's not just the Ephesian church. It's every church. It's Your church that we run into this problem where a few do much and many do little. So Lord, help us to get balance here. Help us to do things Your way. Speak to each one of us in our area of need and how we need to respond to this talk today. Holy Spirit, do Your work, please. In Jesus' name, amen.